بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من جلس في مجلس فكثر فيه لغته فقال قبل أن يقوم من مجلسه ذلك: سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك، إلا غفر له ما كان في مجلسه ذلك. رواه الترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن صحيح. وعن أبي برزة رضي الله عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بآخرة إذا أراد أن يقوم من المجلس: سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. فقال الرجل: يا رسول الله، إنك لتقول قولا ما كنت تقوله فيما مضى. قال: ذلك كفارة لما يكون في المجلس. رواه أبو داود. Continuing with the hadith, we began the discussion yesterday. As I mentioned, there are two or three very important etiquettes of a majlis and gathering, and observation and precautionary measures given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned, Islam is deen e fitrat. Human nature is such that when we get together in a majlis, in a gathering, then the environment becomes conducive towards speech. And speech is not something that we should be taking lightly. In fact, based on the hadith of Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we touched on yesterday, speech is in fact either your key to Jannat, or it is a very, very dangerous thing that will cause one to be thrown face down into Jahannam. So this is why we have to be very, very careful. Particularly, mashallah, there are many brothers that spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of what we do is in majlis, jamaat form, in a gathering. Whether it's the ta'aleem, whether it's the gush, everything that we do, most of the actions, time that is spent out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, the evenings, the jamaat sleeps together, bedding is close by. These are majalis, these are gatherings, where people are gathering together. What is even more dangerous is that these are gatherings on the nisbat of deen. They are under the guise that this is sunnah, this is the fikr of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when you put on that cloak or put on that garb, that mashallah, I'm in the masjid, I'm in the deeni environment, I'm out in the path of Allah, I've associated myself with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then one is on, like our elders allude, they say, you find a person that is walking, if he slips and falls, may get a little bit hurt. So going on a bicycle, the chances of him getting hurt more if he slips are more. Going on a motorcycle, going in a car, and then he's going on an aeroplane. The distance he covers, very quick, very fast. In this sense, understand, spiritual ascension is happening very, very fast. But, in the same way, logically, if he's not going to be careful, he's going to take it lightly, then the accident or the harms and the impediments are just as fast. In other words, the danger and likelihood of getting hurt and hurting those around him increases exponentially when one is in the garb of sunnah and one is in the environment of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ جَلَسَ فِي مَجْلِسٍ فَكَثُرَ فِيهِ لَغَتُهُ. Lagat, as we mentioned yesterday, literal translation, speech where there is a lot of noise, there is a lot of shouting, meaningless talk. And in the commentary, it's mentioned, what is lagat? Very, very concisely put forward, كَثُرَ فِيهِ كَلَامُهُ بِمَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُ فِي آخِرَتِهِ. To speak things which are of no benefit to you in the akhirat. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he described the intelligent man of his ummah, who is he? Two things he mentioned. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. The first thing he said, the intelligent man of my ummah is the one who will suppress his desires. Easiest, simplest explanation of suppress one's desires that ulama kiram give. Zuma Ibrahim Devla Sahib, one of our kabirin, down barakatuhu, very often in his bayan he mentions this hadith, and he makes a very concise explanation of suppressing one's desires. In other words, do that which pleases Allah and stay away from that which angers Allah. That's what it means to suppress one's desires. Then the second sign of who is intelligent, not the PhD or university graduate. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Who is an intelligent person of my ummah? Amina lima ba'd al-maut. His every action is motivated by this one question. Today our every action, particularly in the business environment, or our day-to-day lives, is motivated by what? A Hyundai ND697. Please, whoever's car this is, please remove it. Every action today is motivated by what? By this question, what are the benefits or harms of this action? Intelligent person, that is a logical question. In everything that you do, you've got to ask yourself this question: what I'm about to do, or in the light of this hadith, say, what I'm going to do or say, is it of benefit or harm? Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes one integral difference between who is intelligent and who is not intelligent. The intelligent person, first of all, the not intelligent person, will ask himself this question: what I am about to do or say is of benefit or harm to me in this world? I'm going to job, why am I going? I'm going to enter my house just now, I'm going to interact with my wife and children, I'm going to say things, I'm going to do a lot of things. Like that, in our businesses, in the contact we come in the exposure or interaction with people, everything we do has a repercussion, has a benefit or a harm. The foolish person will worry about the benefit and harm now. And the intelligent person, amila lima ba'dal maut. What I am about to do or say, is it of benefit or harm to me after death? After I die and go in the qabr, by what I am doing, what I am looking at, what I am speaking, is it of benefit or harm to me? Rasulullah said, that is the intelligent man who keeps asking himself this question: what I am about to do or say, is it of benefit or harm? And particularly what you say. Particularly what you say. This is why كَثُرَ فِيهِ لَغَةُ. What? Coming back, I digress. The explanation given of lagat is what? لَا يَنْفَعُهُ فِي آخِرَتِهِ. Every utterance that will not be of benefit to him in his akhirah. Not just not be of benefit, it will be a source of recrimination. It will be a source of regret in the akhirat. Because Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and this is Quran, and there is no getting away from Quran. Quran is haq. Look at it whatever angle you like, put whatever interpretation you like. Quran is the absolute truth. There's no exaggeration. What does Allah say? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every time you open your mouth, يَلْفِظ, utter any word, it's being written down. Allah's attendants are there. They are there and they are writing down and recording every word that you utter. So don't take speech lightly. This is your Jannat or your Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed that. In fact, amongst the muhaddithin, one very famous and well-known muhaddith is Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhi. He mentions, he says, I wrote down 500,000 ahadith. And to us, that might seem something mind-boggling, but there was a zamana and period where there was this one laqab ulama have in the science of hadith, in usul al-hadith and the principles of hadith. In the science of hadith, there is one title given called Hafiz. We think Hafiz al-Quran. Amongst the scholars of hadith, Hafiz al-Hadith means those muhaddisin who knew minimum 100,000 ahadith by heart. And there's not one or two, there's many like that. obviously not in this zamana. This zamana there will be very few, but in that zamana, the passing in the times that have passed. So amongst them was Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, I wrote down 500,000 ahadith, and for my Abu Dawud Sharif, famous book of hadith, which is taught in most of our Darul Ulums, he says, I selected 4,800. From the 500,000 ahadith which I knew by heart and I wrote down, I selected 4,800. Of these, now contextualize this, 500,000, then selected 4,800, and then he says, from the 4,800, there's four ahadith. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, not an ordinary person, a person with that kind of ubur and knowledge of hadith, he's saying there are four ahadith. Practice on these four and sufficient. Practice on these four and you have in essence practiced on 500,000 ahadith. And amongst these four time constraints we have, pertinent to what we're discussing, is one of the four that he selected, min husni Islam il mar'i ma tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. Very, very simple translation of this. Like I said, I've run out of time. You want to become beautiful. You want to become attractive. This is natural. Every time you pass the mirror, somebody is looking haggard or haphazard. What is it? How do I look? How do I appear? Islam teaches us not to only make your outside beautiful, make the inside beautiful also. Become attractive inside. Become attractive to your wife inside, to your children, to your staff, to your subordinates, to everybody you come into contact with. Wallah, if you don't practice on this hadith, you will never be beautiful, you will never be attractive, you will never be appealing to anyone. You will be someone people want to run away from. What is the key that Rasulullah ﷺ gave us? Husn. Beautify yourself, beautify your deen, perfect yourself, perfect your deen, perfect your environment. Attain beauty. And beauty, husn, is attraction. Become attractive. Let people love you. Let people want to come close to you. One condition, prerequisite, which you can't do without. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. Give up. Give up in actions and more important in speech. Everything that is of no benefit. That which is going to harm somebody, that which is going to hurt somebody, that which is going to break the heart of somebody, that is which is of no benefit to you, particularly in the qabr and in akhirat, that you are going to regret in Allah's court, he said, give it up. تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. And Allah will make you inside beautiful and outside beautiful. This is in fact one of the four ahadith that Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayh chose out of 500,000 ahadith. So coming back to this, مَنْ جَلَسَ فِي مَجْلِسِ. Rasulullah said, whoever sat anywhere in a group, sat in a group, got together, few of you. فَكَثُرَ فِيهِ لَغَتُهُ. And useless speech increased in that gathering. Allah's Rasul, we've run out of time, gave us one nuskha, one principle, one very effective means to wash away the negativity and the harm of gathering together. InshaAllah, we'll continue.